ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वो फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 एंटाइटल्ड किंग चित्रकेतु मीट्स द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड। अहम् वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्द ब्रह्म परम ब्रह्म ममो बे शाश्वती तनु। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkara and Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And I am the supreme absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely, the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Purport: The science of devotional service has been instructed by Narada and Angira to Chitraketu. Now, because of Chitraketu's devotional service, he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing devotional service, one advances step by step, and when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, Prema Pumarto Mahan, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. In accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within the core of everyone's heart, speaks to the devotee, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus, Angira and Narada, and now, having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. The essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu or substances. One is real and the other, being illusory or temporary, is sometimes called non-factual. One must consider these two kinds of existence. The real tattva or truth consists of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yadhyanam advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. The absolute truth exists eternally in three features. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan combined are the substance. The categories of emanations from the non-substance are two: activities and forbidden activities, karma and vikarma. Karma refers to the pious life or material activities performed during the day and the mental activities of dreams at night. These are more or less desired activities. Vikarma, however, refers to illusory activities which are something like the will-o'-the-wisp. These are activities that have no meaning. For example, modern scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations, and they are very busy trying to prove this in laboratories throughout the world, although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combinations. Such activities are called vikarma. The next part of the purport be taken tomorrow. Seek the blessings of all the devotees, especially His Grace Krishnanand Prabhu, His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu, and all the assembled devotees for starting the class. So in this verse, so this chapter is entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Supreme Lord. So we saw the series of prayers with King Chitraketu offered to the Supreme Lord Sankarshan when he appeared in front of him. Now after hearing the prayers of King Chitraketu, now Lord Sankarshan is giving his blessings and he is imparting transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Chitraketu. So in this verse, Lord Sankarshan is saying, the all living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna Hare Ram, and I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternal blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So Prabhupada is telling in the purport that King Chitraketu first imparted transcendental knowledge by Angira Rishi and Narada Rishi. So then after being trained in the devotional service by these two great personalities, he started performing devotional service. Then within 7 days he got the darshan of the Lord. But Prabhupada says that Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus, and now having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. So in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another instance where how one of the devotees got the darshan of the Supreme Lord. In the first canto, Narada Muni tells to Vyasadeva about his own story of how he came to Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni says, Narada Muni was serving the Bhakti Vedantas. He was assisting his mother in serving the Bhakti Vedantas during the Chaturmasya period. After the Bhakti Vedantas left, so Narada Muni was there with his mother. On one fine day, his mother was bitten by a venomous serpent and then she left her body. So then Narada Muni was just five years old and he was left alone. So then he just started practicing the instructions of Bhaktivedantas. Then he started wandering all over the universe, all over the planet. And he went to different places like forests, cities, etc. So there, after going through different forests, he became very much tired. And then he sat under a tree. So it's mentioned, Tasmin nirmanu jeranye pipalo pasta asrita atmanatmanam atmastam yata shrutama chintayam. Narada Muni is saying, after that, under the shadow of a banyan tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. So Narada Muni starts meditating upon the super soul. So Prabhupada says in the purport, one should not meditate according to one's personal whims, but one should know perfectly well from the authoritative scriptures on which form of the Lord one should meditate and what form one should meditate. Many times we see, like sometimes in some organizations they meditate on like one candlelight, etc. But here Prabhupada is saying that one should meditate according based on the authoritative scriptures. So when you are preaching in the Nair Medical College, there was one student, when he wrote this university exam. So during the exam, in the exam paper, he marked certain things like yeah, answered this question, these questions are left. He just marked with the pencil so that at the end of the exam, he can answer the missing questions which he had not answered. So after the exam, because according to the rule, one is not supposed to mark anything in the exam paper, in the question paper. So this person was caught by the examiner, and then he was told actually to appear again for the exam. For these two particular exams, he was told to appear again. So then, but he did not want to appear again, because he did not do mistake, but because he did not intend to copy or something, but he did not want to appear again. So he filed a case. So I was asking him, like, what is the, like, what arguments is the lawyer is going to give to the present in the court, saying that the lawyer is just going to present that actually this student is, throughout his career, throughout this thing, he has never failed in a particular exam. In fact, he has scored well in all the exams. So he never has any bad track record of copying in the exam. So you should actually consider his case. And he has, only by mistake, he just marked in the question paper just so that at the end of the exam he can answer the missing questions. So he is actually innocent. So you should not you should not allow him to appear again. You should actually give him the correct his exam papers and then give him the result. So I asked him, like, these arguments are just basically anybody can present. These are just some common, if anybody has little common sense, one can present these arguments. So why do you need a lawyer to present these arguments? In fact, that student was paying 25,000 rupees as fees to the lawyer just to present these arguments. Said that we can't argue on our own. Only when particular some lawyer, when he argues in the court, then only they will take the case strongly. So we can see, like, many times in preaching, like, when we quote from the scriptures, people actually oppose, they want to argue. But the same people, even in order to present commonsensical arguments, they have to take shelter of some authorities and they have to pay so much of fees. So here, Prabhupada is saying, one should know perfectly well from the authoritative scriptures on what forms one should meditate. And then he says, one should meditate through the transparent medium of the spiritual master by proper use of one's trained intelligence. So, it is not that one can directly approach the Supreme Lord. One should approach the Supreme Lord through the medium of a devotee. Then only one can actually have the experience, the effect of understanding the knowledge. But if we see in the Bhagavad Gita, we can see three persons who actually heard the Bhagavad Gita and what their effect was, what the effect which it produced in their life. So first is Arjuna. Arjuna, after he heard the Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Nashta moho smritir labdva tvat prasadat mayachuta sitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Arjuna says that now all my illusion is dispelled. Nashta moho smritir labdva. I have regained my memory, and I am situated in my original position. All my doubts are erased. So now I will do whatever you say. So because Arjuna actually took shelter of Krishna, he surrendered to Krishna, and then he heard Bhagavad Gita. So at the end, he is telling his realization that he wants to do whatever Krishna says. Then we can see another example of Dhritarashtra. We can see another example of Sanjaya. In fact, it is said when Sanjaya, he was narrating the Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya tells his experience. He says, Tachya samsmritya samsmritya rupam adyadbutam hare vismayome mahan rajan hrishyamicha punapuna. Sanjaya is saying that he is telling his experience of seeing that universal form of Lord Krishna. In fact, when Krishna showed the universal form, everyone in the battlefield saw, even including Dhritarashtra, although he was blind, he could also see the universal form. So Sanjaya, he's saying that when I remember the universal form which was shown by Krishna, my hairs are standing on end. So my whole body is trembling. So Sanjaya is feeling completely ecstatic just by remembering the form of Lord Krishna. Now, another example is, but why Sanjaya could experience ecstasy? Sanjaya also says that Vyasa Prasada Chrutavan Yetad Guhyam Ahamparam. Sanjaya says that by the mercy of Vyasdev, I could hear this transcendental knowledge which was imparted by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. Then he says, Yogam Yogeshwarat Krishna Sakshat Kateta Svayam, which was imparted by the master of the mystic power, Yogeshwar, personally to Arjuna. So because he heard, because he had also taken shelter of a spiritual master, Vyasdev, by the mercy of Vyasdev, when he heard the Bhagavad Gita, he could experience the actual effect of Bhagavad Gita. But then Dhritarashtra, in the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, he has two questions. He asks, like, what did Pandavas do and what did my sons do? So the whole Bhagavad Gita is an answer to these two questions. So in response to Dhritarashtra's question, what did my sons do? Basically, Sanjaya says what Duryodhan was doing. Because Duryodhan represents the whole Kauravas. He was not explaining what each of the Kauravas were doing. And in response to the question that what did Pandavas do, Sanjaya was replying basically what Arjuna was doing. Arjuna going to Lord Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, then hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. So because Arjuna represents the whole Pandavas, Krishna says that Pandava Vrishninam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dhananjaya. I am Dhananjaya or Arjuna among the Pandavas. So basically Dhritarashtra just expected some short answer, what did my sons do and what did Pandavas do? But in reply to that, he gets the whole Bhagavad Gita. It's just like somebody comes to the temple and asks some devotee, like who are these deities? Gornetha did, who are these deities standing in the altar? Somebody starts replying that, these deities are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Supreme Personality of Godhead means one who is full with six opulences. Either if he starts giving a 1 hour lecture, that person may be expecting just two line answer. Similarly, Dhritarashtra was just expecting a short answer, but in response to that, he hears the whole Bhagavad Gita. But what was the effect of hearing Bhagavad Gita on Dhritarashtra? In fact, after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, and after the battle was over, when all the Kauravas were killed, when Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, they come to visit Dhritarashtra. So that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj also brings Bhima. Then Krishna tells to Yudhishthira Maharaj that, don't send Bhima, because Dhritarashtra is very much angry, because Bhima had killed practically all the sons of the Dhritarashtra. And it is true to the fact that Dhritarashtra, they just presented a statue in front of Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra, because we are so much angry, he just embraced the statue and the whole statue was crushed to pieces. So Dhritarashtra, although he heard the Bhagavad Gita, even after that he maintained his enmity towards the Pandavas. The reason was because he did not hear the Bhagavad Gita through the transparent medium of the spiritual master. So it did not produce the same effect on Dhritarashtra. So then Prabhupada explains in the purport how to develop the qualification for meditation. So Prabhupada says, one should carry out the orders of the spiritual master. And he says, Narada Muni sincerely served the Bhaktivedantas and got enlightenment rightly. So that is why he could meditate on the Supreme Lord. So in the earlier days of the ISKCON, sometimes devotees, when they got fried out of the management, they wanted to go to Vrindavan and start doing bhajan. But Prabhupada would always say that you should do some practical service, you should stay and manage the temple. So once Burijan Prabhu told Prabhupada that I want to go to Vrindavan. Prabhupada told him to go to Hong Kong. And then Prabhupada said, you stay in Hong Kong and preach for 10 years. And after 10 years, you go to Vrindavan. Then Burjan Prabhu just followed the order of Prabhupada. And then he went to Hong Kong and started preaching there. But then he completely forgot the instruction that Prabhupada also told him to go to Vrindavan. And exactly after the 10 years, he was told to go to Vrindavan by his authorities. So we can see that although Burjan Prabhu forgot it, but he was given the order to go to Vrindavan, which was the desire which he expressed previously. So then in the next verse, Narad Muni says, he tells the result of his meditation. He says that as soon as I began to meditate on the Supreme Lord, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes. And without delay, personality of Godhead appeared on the lotus of my heart. So as soon as Narad Muni started meditating, immediately he could see the Supreme Lord in his heart. Then he started shedding tears. Once Srila Prabhupada went to Atlanta, Georgia, there he was, there the Gaurnithai deities were there in the temple. So there, in front of the deities, he started singing this bhajan, Parama Karuna Pahuduijana. So as soon as he started singing this bhajan, he saw the assembled devotees, so many Western devotees from different backgrounds were sitting there. So immediately, just by seeing them, he just started shedding tears. In fact, he went into ecstasy. Just by seeing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he bestowed upon all the Western devotees. So a pure devotee, when he starts meditating upon the Supreme Lord, he immediately sheds tears. But Prabhupada says, tears are an automatic reaction when one starts meditating upon the Supreme Lord. Then, the next verse, Narada Muni says, O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. So Narad Muni is saying that every part of my body became separately enlivened. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that all the senses became fully awakened to render devotional service to the Lord, because in the liberated stage, all the senses are fully efficient in serving the Supreme Lord. So when a person is liberated, although physically one may be in a very pathetic condition, but still because he completely maintains his Krishna consciousness, so he can his senses can function perfectly. In fact, it is mentioned that when Bhishma Dev was lying in the bed of the arrows, it is mentioned that Bhishma Dev was pierced by arrows, like every inch of his body was pierced by the arrows. Like he was experiencing like intense pain. We can see that when somebody is like sick, when we are like too much sick, like we would not like to normally meet many people, because we already body is also so much in sickness, and because of that it will also affect the mind. Difficult to like talk to the people. It is mentioned that Bhishma Dev was lying in the bed of the arrows. All the sages and different great personalities from all over the universe came to meet Bhishma Dev, because they knew that here is a great devotee of the Lord. He is going to depart to the spiritual world, so they wanted to take his darshan. So when all the great personalities appeared there, it is mentioned that Bhishma Dev welcomed all the great personalities with sweet words, and he satisfied all the great personalities. So although Bhishma Dev was experiencing intense pain, but he could welcome all the great personalities with sweet words in such a way that he could perfectly satisfy all the great sages. Even we can see in the example of Srila Prabhupada, although in his Prabhupada, when he was in last days, that he was hardly eating, he was experiencing intense pain, his kidney failed, so much of pain he was undergoing, but still, till the last moment, he was giving the Bhaktivedanta purports. In fact, just to glorify Srila Prabhupada, the BBT published one separate book containing the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 14th chapter. Because we can see, if we read the purports which Prabhupada gave in those chapter, we can imagine, is this the purports, are those the purports given by a person who is about to die? Because those purports were like so strong and they were so much philosophical. Although Prabhupada was the last stages, but he could actually give such high philosophical thoughts. So then in the next verse, Narada Muni describes the form of the Supreme Lord. He says that the transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire and at once erases all material incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed, as is usual when one loses that which is desirable. So here, he describes the effect of seeing the form of the Supreme Lord. When one sees the form of the Supreme Lord, one is erased of all material incongruities. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva describes the form of the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva says, Snigdha Pravrit Ganashyamam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturbahu Sujata Ruchirananam Padmakosha Palashaksham Sundarabrusunasikam Sudvijam Sukapolasyam Samakarna Vibhushanam. Lord Shiva describes, the form of the Lord is just like a dark rain cloud during the rainy season. Just like the rainfall glistens, similarly the form of all the parts of the body glisten. So then he says, Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. The beauty of the Supreme Lord is sum total of all beauty. This world, somebody may be beautiful, but if you take the sum total of all beauty, the whole material world and the spiritual world, that is the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Then he says, the Lord had four arms and he had an exquisitely beautiful face. And he had a lotus eyes and he had a highly raised nose. And he had a mind attracting smile and a beautiful and had an equally beautiful ears. So Lord's beauty was compared to the dark rainy cloud, dark cloud of the rainy season, because after the summer season, people are being tormented by the scorching heat of the sun. When people are waiting when the rain will come. In fact, if you go sometimes in the villages, when the rainfall comes, they just go out of the home just to experience the rainfall. Similarly, the Lord's form is compared to the rainfall because it is very pleasing to the living entities. It's pleasing to everyone. And then Lord Shiva says, Preeti prakasita pangam alakai rupa shobitam lasat pankaja kinjalka dukulam mrishta kundalam. He says that he had a super excellently beautiful beautiful smile and a sidelong glance upon his devotees. And he had an open and merciful smile upon his devotees. And his hair was black and it was curly in nature. And the Lord's garments were waving in the wind. And it appeared just like the flying of the saffron pollen from the lotus flowers. And then it is described that the earrings, anklets, and bracelets of the Supreme Lord, which combined with the shankha, the conchal, lotus flower, etc. of the Supreme Lord, to increase the natural beauty of the Supreme Lord. And then Lord Shiva says, Simha Skanda Tvisho Bibrat. Lord Krishna has a shoulder which are like the shoulders of a lion. And Shaubhaga Griva Kaustubam. He had an exquisitely beautiful Kaustubha jewel on his chest. And then it describes Shriyapa Nayanyakshapta Nikashashma Rasolasat. On the chest of the Supreme Lord, there were golden streaks which are called Shrivatsa. Those golden streaks represent the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. So it is described that The golden streaks on the chest of the Supreme Lord, they excel the beauty of the gold testing stone. To test the gold, they use what is called a gold testing stone, that which is blackish in color. So when you rub the gold in the gold against the gold testing stone, like you'll, if it is a real gold, you'll see a golden streaks. So beauty of the Supreme Lord, especially this golden streaks, the Srivatsa streaks on the chest of the Supreme Lord, excelled the beauty of the gold gold testing stone. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord is formless. It was experienced by Srila Narada Muni. So you could see the form of the Supreme Lord. So once one person was arguing with Prabhupada that God is everywhere, so why do we need to worship the form of the deity in the temple? So Prabhupada was saying, because he was a businessman, Prabhupada was saying that, do you like 1 crore rupees distributed in the form of 1 rupee coins in 1 crore people, or 1 crore rupees in one in your packet? So he could immediately get the answer. I like 1 crore rupees in my packet. So although Lord may be everywhere, but Lord has a beautiful form, which is actually superior to the Brahma Jyoti in Paramatma. So then, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Lord's form vanishes all perturbance of the mind. So as soon as one sees the form of the Supreme Lord, it vanishes all the perturbance. And that what to speak of the Supreme Lord, even when one sees the form of a devotee, sometimes like it actually completely captivates a person. If Kurma Prabhu, he explains in his memories that when Prabhupada first visited Australia, that time when Prabhupada entered the airport, after the immigration, he passed the immigration, that time Prabhupada's servant Vegavan Prabhu, like he was held at the immigration because actually he did not have a visa to enter the country. So Vegavan Prabhu was explaining to the immigration authorities, see, I'm married to a lady who is an Australian, because just few weeks back Prabhupada married Vegavan Prabhu with another devotee in the Cross Maidan Pandal. So he was saying that I married to a Australian woman, so you should allow me to enter the country. So then he was asking for the marriage certificate. So he did not have the marriage certificate. Then he said he had a photograph. So he showed the photograph to that immigration official. So that official saw that photograph, and then he said, you see that this Swamiji, he only performed the marriage ceremony. You can see that he has already passed away. And he saw the photograph, and then, because just before that Prabhupada just passed through. Then he saw Prabhupada, and then he just wrote indefinite stay in the passport. So just by seeing the Prabhupada, he got completely transformed that. Like he just wrote indefinite stay in the passport. So then Prabhupada writes in the purport, what we desire, life after life was obtained by Narada Muni, and losing sight of him again was certainly a great shock for him. So the form of the Supreme Lord is all we are looking for, life after life. Then the next verse, Narada Muni says that I desire to see again the transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view that form again, I could not see him anymore, and thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. So now the Lord, as after he saw the Lord, immediately the Lord disappeared. So then he again tried to see the form of the Lord, but he could not see the form of the Lord. So Prabhupada says that through mechanical process, one cannot see the form of the Lord. In fact, to see the form of the Lord, one has to have the mercy of the Supreme Lord. In fact, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahavishnu wanted to take darshan of Lord Krishna. So he devised an intelligent plan. He stole all the sons of a Brahmana who was a resident of Dwaraka. So at the end of this pastime, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a series of questions. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that, so Mahavishnu must have come to Dwaraka to steal the sons of the Brahmana. So if he had come to anyway to steal the sons of the Brahmana, like he could have taken the darshan of the Krishna in Dwarka itself. If he had anyway come to Dwarka, he could have taken the darshan there. So why did he not take the darshan of Krishna there? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, because the darshan of Lord Krishna is so rare that even Mahavishnu cannot take the darshan of Lord Krishna without the sanction of Lord Krishna. Then he says that, okay, if Mahavishnu knew that if he cannot take the darshan of Lord Krishna, even if he comes to Dwarka, so why did he come personally to steal the sons of Brahmana? He could have sent any of his associates to steal the sons of Brahmana. So he answers that question by saying that because the Dwarka is a personal kingdom of Lord Krishna, that any ordinary person cannot just enter Dwarka and steal some property of Lord Krishna. So Mahavishnu had to come personally to steal the sons of Brahmana. So then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur puts another question, says that Krishna is known as Brahmanya Deva. Lord Narayan is known as Brahmanya Deva, one who protects the Brahmanas. He only is the Lord of the Brahmanas. So Brahmanas are so dear to the Supreme Lord. So why did Mahavishnu give trouble to the Brahmana to see the Lord Krishna? So he says that Mahavishnu was so much eager to take darshan of Lord Krishna that he did not mind giving trouble to the Brahmanas. So that much eager was Mahavishnu. Then finally he says that Krishna could have gone and saved the sons of Brahmana previously itself. In fact, it is mentioned that Krishna went and saved the sons of Brahmanas only after Arjuna was about to commit suicide. Because ten sons of the Brahmanas were stolen, Krishna could have gone and retrieved the sons previously, but because only when Arjuna, his dear devotee, was about to commit suicide, only at that time Krishna actually went to save the Supreme Lord, because Arjuna was so dear to the Lord. So without the intervention of a devotee, one cannot actually get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So then the Lord disappeared from the vision of Narada Muni. Then Lord started speaking to Narada Muni. So Lord said that, seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words just to mitigate my grief. So then Lord started speaking to the Narada Muni just to mitigate the grief of Narada Muni. So it is described in the Nectar of Devotion about how Lord speaks. There are three qualities which are mentioned about the Lord's speech. The first quality which is mentioned is the Lord is a wonderful linguist. The Rupa Goswami says that a wonderful linguist is one who is very fluent in all the languages of the world, and especially Sanskrit, which is the language of the demigods, and also even the languages of the animals. So Lord Krishna, we can see that he was fluent in Sanskrit, and he would even speak to the cows. And as soon as Krishna would shout the name of the cow, all the cows would just come and come to Krishna. So Krishna was expert in all the languages. And then the next quality of Krishna which is described is, he was a pleasing talker. Here also it is mentioned that Lord spoke with pleasing words. So there Rupa Goswami says, one who can speak sweetly even with his enemies just to pacify him, such a person is a pleasing talker. So when Krishna subdued Kaliya, after subduing Kaliya, Krishna spoke to Kaliya. Krishna said, my dear king of the snakes, although I have given you so much of pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows which are worshipped even by the demigods. So only in order to save the cows, actually I gave trouble to you. Please do not be dissatisfied with me. And Kaliya was so much pleased with Lord Krishna's words, although Krishna actually gave so much pain to Kaliya. Then the next quality of Krishna which is mentioned is, Krishna was a fluent speaker. It is mentioned that the one who is fluent, a fluent person is one who can speak meaningful words with all politeness and good qualities. Such a person is a fluent speaker. So when, after the Govardhan Leela, when Krishna spoke to Nanda Maharaj and convinced him to worship Govardhan, after that, after hearing those words, one of the wives of one of the Vrajavasis, she spoke that Krishna was speaking so politely and gently, it was as if like pouring of nectar into the ears of all. After hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted to him? So these are the qualities of the, how Krishna speaks. In fact, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya recollects the whole conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. Sanjaya says, Rajan samsmritya samsmritya. He says, basically, Sanjaya says that as I remember this wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, my hairs are standing on end. I am thrilled at every moment just by hearing this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. But Prabhupada writes in the purport, the result of Krishna consciousness is one becomes increasingly enlightened and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. So that is the result of Krishna consciousness. So then, Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is not, however, possible for others to perceive directly the touch of the Lord during a probationary stage of regulative devotional service. It was a special gift for Narada Muni. So then, Lord says to Narada Muni, O Narada Muni, I regret that during this lifetime, you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. Because Narada Muni, although he was very much advanced, he was not completely pure at that time. He had the tinge of sattvagun also. So Prabhupada says that one should be free from all material taints, including sattvagun. So we can see in the Bhagavad Gita, the 14th chapter, three modes of material nature. The first verse Krishna says, Parambhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanam uttamam yajnatva munayas sarve param siddhim ito gata. Krishna says, now I am going to impart to you the knowledge which is more confidential than which I have spoken previously. By hearing this knowledge, many sages have attained perfection previously. But before the 14th chapter, he spoke the Raja Vidya in the 9th chapter, then opulences of the absolute. But then he says that knowledge of the three modes of material nature is still more confidential because it is particularly applies to all conditioned souls, because all of us are presently in the modes of material nature. So in this chapter, Krishna says what the modes of nature are and how the modes act, and how one can get liberated from these modes. So one should be completely free even from the sattvagun. In fact, in the Nectar of Instruction, the preface, Prabhupada writes, sattvagun is, when one comes to the mode of goodness, like it is just like going downward in the hill. Like you can imagine, like suppose you are in the South India Yatra, those persons who climbed on the Tirupati hill, you are climbing, you are just thinking like when the like flat portion will come, when will we reach the hill? Because so much like effort was needed. But when we come down, it is, when you come down the hill, so much, you put very little effort. Similarly, when you come to the mode of goodness, the progress of, to progress on the spiritual path, it becomes very easy. So, Lord says that because you are not freed from even from the tinge of sattvagun, so you will not be able to see again in this lifetime. You will have to wait. And then in the next verse, Lord said that, O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. So he gives another reason why he actually disappeared from the side. Because Lord says that because just to increase your desire for me, that I have disappeared. So in this lifetime you should perform devotional service. When you attain the perfection, when you increase your desire for me, then finally next lifetime you will become a complete, you will get a spiritual body. So just to increase the hankering of Narada Muni, he disappeared from in his form. In fact, it is mentioned in the 12th chapter of the first canto, when Parikshit Maharaj was there in the womb, Lord appeared in a form so that Parikshit Maharaj can see the form of the Lord. So it is mentioned there that Parikshit, the name Parikshit, the meaning of the name Parikshit is one who examines. So after Parikshit Maharaj saw the form of the Lord, after he came out of the womb, he was searching for that personality whom he had seen in the womb, because he was so much attracted by the form of the Lord that he was just looking for that form. In fact, when he was a small child, he would crawl and then he would pull the dhoti of a person and he would see whether he is the person whom he had seen in the womb. Then when that person turns back, then he says, oh, he is not the Supreme Lord. Then he would go to the another person. So Parikshit Maharaj was so much captivated just by seeing the form of the Lord. In fact, Prabhupada writes in the purport there, he quotes Jiva Goswami and he says that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord like Maharaj Parikshit. Parikshit Maharaj had the facility to see the Supreme Lord in the womb, but Prabhupada's Jiva Goswami says that even if a child is he may not have the facility of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face, but if he is given an impression of the Supreme Lord right from his childhood, it is certain that he will become a great devotee of the Lord like Maharaj Parikshit. And then he says that one may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of the mother, but even if he is not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. And then Prabhupada gives his own practical example. Prabhupada says that how in his childhood his own father raised him by giving a Krishna conscious impressions. Like his own father trained Prabhupada in worshipping the Radha Govinda deities. And Prabhupada says that in a playful manner I used to worship these deities along with my sister, and I used to imitate the performances of a neighboring temple of Radha Govinda. By constantly visiting this neighboring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I developed a natural affinity for the Lord. So much so that later on, when he externally forgot the devotional sentiments, when he became a youth, when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then because he had the impressions of Krishna consciousness in his childhood, as soon as he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all his Krishna consciousness was revived immediately after meeting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So then finally, Lord says that by service of the absolute truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. So, yeah, even when one serves the Supreme Lord, even for a few days, one can attain firm and fixed intelligence in Krishna. We can see when Prabhupada went to Russia, he just took one person, he just preached to him only for 1 or 2 days, but he just trained him in cooking, doing kirtan, etc. But that person got so much inspired that he preached to so many other people and hundreds of people became devotees just by receiving training for a few days from Srila Prabhupada. So this is how Narada Muni got darshan of the Supreme Lord and how Supreme Lord spoke to Narada Muni. So we'll stop here since it is already 9 o'clock. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.